أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة. وقال تعالى: كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in last week's bayan we made mention of certain aspects of the beauty of the Holy Quran. And on that occasion we had said that inshallah in our future bayans we will look at other aspects relating to the Holy Quran. Today I would like to make mention of the duties and the rights that we owe to the Holy Quran. The ulama have written that each and every Muslim is related to the Holy Quran in three ways. Or he should be related to the Holy Quran in three ways. The first of that is recitation of the Holy Quran. And in this recitation, with or without understanding the meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayk." Make tilawat. We all understand tilawat to make the recitation of the Holy Quran. Utlu, recite what has been revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, "Man qara'a harfan min kitabillah falahu bihi ashratu amthaliha." Or kama qal, whoever reads one word of the Holy Quran. Here again, what is the word, the Arabic word? Qara'a. He who reads one word of the Holy Quran, for him will be rewarded. He will be rewarded for each letter tenfold. Ten rewards upon each and every word. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further explained and said, "I do not say that if you recite Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim does not constitute one word. But in Alif Lam Mim, Alif constitutes one word, Lam constitutes a separate word, and Mim constitutes a separate word. So in reciting Alif Lam Mim, a person will gain 30 rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal." And the word again of the hadith, "Man qara'a," he who recites and reads. You can imagine, there are 6,666 verses of the Holy Quran. How many letters and words there must be? If a person recites and complete one recitation of the Holy Quran, how much reward he becomes entitled to receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then furthermore, we must not misunderstand or mistake the Quran as an ordinary book of any mortal. The Quran is kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any other book authored by someone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person can say that it would be meaningless to recite it without understanding it. But this is kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not only kitab of Allah, it is not only the book of Allah, but it is a speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The inseparable quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The speech which emanated directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if a person recites the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a hadith which appears in Ibn Majah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Allahu ashaddu udhunan ila qari'il Qur'an." Allah Ta'ala re-listens more eagerly to the person who recites the Quran, Ari'il Quran, one who recites the Quran, than what a master will listen to the singing of his slave girl. We know that music is something which attracts many people, which many a times people become addicted towards it. The hadith makes mention of it as a matter of fact, not to justify it. There are many people who become excessively addicted to the music, and they feel that they gain great amount of joy in listening to that music. The hadith makes mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens more eagerly and listens to music when he is addicted. He possesses a slave girl and who has an attractive voice. The way she or he will listen to that slave girl listening to that music, Allah Ta'ala even listens to the reader of the Holy Quran more eagerly also. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala once asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for advice. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him several advices. Amongst one of them was, عَلَيْكَ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَذُخْرٌ لَكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Oh Abu Dhar, stick to that tilawat of the Quran, recitation of the Holy Quran, for it is nur for you in this world, and it will be provision for you in the year after. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one hadith also reads, إن هذه القلوب تصدع كما يصدع الحديد إذا أصابه الماء. قيل يا رسول الله وما جلاؤها. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that this heart of yours also get rusted the way irons get rusted when water comes over iron. That the heart, due to negligence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to guna, they get spiritually rusted the way iron get rusted when water comes upon it. So the Sahaba asked, وَمَا جِلَاؤُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How will we then cleanse it, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ وَتِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. Frequent remembrance of death and tilawat of the Holy Quran, recitation of the Holy Quran. So therefore, respected brothers, don't let anyone ever fool you that there is no benefit in reading the Holy Quran without understanding it. There is definitely great spiritual benefit, and we should endeavor. And one of the rights that we have towards the Holy Quran is to recite and make tilawat of the Holy Quran as frequently as possible. As frequently as possible. The hadith also makes mention that the houses in which the Quran is recited, they shine for the dwellers of the heaven the way the stars shine for the people who are on the earth. The way we see the stars shining towards the heaven, similarly, the houses in which Quran is recited, it shines towards the dwellers of the heaven. They look at it as stars from the heaven onwards. So that is something which is important. But of course, we should not then remain contented with that. That is the first right that we owe to the Holy Quran. The second right that we owe to the Holy Quran is to make an earnest effort to understand the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِ. A kitab that we have revealed unto you, which is very blessed. لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِ, that you must ponder over those ayat. Now, one of the popular misconceptions is that the ulama discourage people from understanding the Holy Quran. أَلْيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ حَاشَ وَكَلَّهِ. What right do the ulama have in discouraging people from understanding the Holy Quran? Yes, what the ulama do make mention of is, make a proper understanding of the Holy Quran. Understand the Quran properly, because the Quran is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, and tafsir is the interpretation and the explanation of that speech. So when a person asserts that this is what is the meaning of this ayat, or this is the interpretation of this word or this verse, he purports that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means this. So in this way, his comprehension, his understanding is attributed directly to Allah Azza wa Jal. In this way, ambiguity or carelessness or giving an opinion with regard to the ayat of the Holy Quran without knowing the relevant sciences, without any proper knowledge, or on pure whim and fancy of a person, that could lead to slandering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the one of the gravest violations of the Sharia and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. Who can be more unjust than he who falsely attributes something towards Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Nahl, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبِ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. Do not set forth with your tongue anything false, and saying, هذا حلال, this is حلال, هذا حرام, this is حرام, falsely attributing it towards Allah. For verily, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. He who falsely attributes anything towards Allah, لا يفلحون, he will never gain success and he will never achieve prosperity. Therefore we find the Sahaba Ikram and our pious predecessors were very cautious with regard to interpreting any verse of the Holy Quran. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, in his monumental book Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran, Itqan with regard to the Ulum and the knowledge of the Holy Quran, is written on the authority of Abdul Rahman ibn Sulaym rahmatullah alayh, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala and Majma'in would learn 10 ayat of the Holy Quran, and they would not thereafter proceed until they have comprehended all the literary and the practical aspects of the 10 ayat. Only after understanding the 10 ayat, make practicing upon it, then they would proceed to the next 10 ayat. Now they were people who used to speak Arabic, but yet they found it necessary to have a proper understanding of those ayat which they have recited from our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was once asked a matter to give an opinion with regard to an ayat of the Holy Quran. He replied, and listen to his reply carefully. He said, "Which earth will bear me, and which sky and heaven will give me cover, if I venture to give opinions of the Holy Quran without having proper knowledge about it?" Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he is among the most knowledgeable of all the ashab, one who had the most knowledge. And as far as knowledge, as far as taqwa, as far as piety, purity, wisdom, spiritual insight is concerned, he held a very, very lofty rank. Yet this was his caution with regard to the Holy Quran. Our condition today is, if a person just knows a few sentences in Arabic, or he has just glanced through few Islamic publications, he now regards himself as an expert to render interpretation and to give tafsir of the Holy Quran. He wants to now give tafsir. Not only tafsir, he will even go to further extent of taking out the so-called mistakes of the pious ulama and the predecessors of the mufassirin of the past. And yet we know, with regard to secular sciences and arts, it is common knowledge that merely understanding English, or merely understanding the language, merely understanding English and thereafter reading through a medical textbook or reading through a manual of law, does not make one qualified to dispense with medicine, or does not make one qualified to practice as an attorney. It is common knowledge, everyone knows that there are stringent conditions which apply before a person can dispense with medicine, or he'll be allowed to practice as a lawyer or as an attorney. This is common knowledge. Similarly, there are also stringent conditions that apply before a person can comment or interpret or deduce commands from the Holy Quran. Against this, the normal argument that is presented is, there is no priesthood in Islam. There is no monopoly of any group upon the Holy Quran. Each and everyone has equal access to the Holy Quran. Very, very true. Each and every Muslim has access to the Holy Quran. There is no monopoly of any group over the Holy Quran. But it is a qualified right. Just as we say, in a democratic society or in a democratic system, not that I'm extolling the virtue of that particular system, but just making mention as an example, we say every citizen has the right, the qualified right to become the prime minister or the president of the country. Now if a taxi driver comes and says, "Now, I have that right, I must become the prime minister," he will be told in no uncertain terms that yet you have the right, go and attain the necessary skills and qualification and come through the normal channels, then you can become the prime minister of the country if you so wish. Similarly, with regard to the Holy Quran, we must understand, when we say that everyone has equal access to the Holy Quran, it does not mean even for a moment that everyone, even if he does not have any knowledge whatsoever, can go and interpret the Holy Quran or interpret an ayat of the Holy Quran, no matter how far-fetched or absurd that interpretation might be. You see, in Pakistan, there have been many jokers who have ruled Pakistan. Among them, there was one who used to have the policy of nationalizing the industries. And they used to have people who used to support them. So one such prime minister of Pakistan in the past, used the ayat, "Was-sariqu was-sariqatu faqta'u aydiyahuma," which deals with the punishment of the one who steals. He used that as a criteria for nationalizing the industries in Pakistan. Now, will we accept that? As no, everyone has equal access to the Quran, so therefore accept his interpretation. The Quran will become a joke like that. No, what it means when we say each and everyone has equal access to the Holy Quran is this. Unlike other isms, other ideologies, and other religions, where a person had to belong to a particular family or a particular grace group,
then only he could study that religion. Islam is not like that. The Quran is open for everyone to go and study. Go and acquire the knowledge of the Holy Quran. And after you acquire the knowledge of the Holy Quran, and then come and venture and give an opinion. It does not mean that you can now give an opinion without knowing the relevant sciences of the Holy Quran. It is open to anyone. Anyone can go and learn it. And then after learning it, he can come and give and venture an opinion and interpret the Holy Quran. But he has to go through the relevant sciences. There are various sciences which the ulama have written. I don't want to go into the detail. I'll give you an example. A person, perhaps, the ulama have written 15 branches of knowledge a person will have to know before he can then interpret the Holy Quran. Amongst them is Arabic language, knowing the grammar of the Arabic language, sentences and word formations, knowing which ayat preceded another ayat in Revelation. Recently, or some time back, I read a publication from UK, a newspaper, where they had a feature on Islam. They interviewed one particular Arab who was seen in a bar. He was drinking, and he was taking to alcohol and intoxicants. They asked him, doesn't your religion forbid it? He said, yes, my religion only says, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. Don't come near salat in the intoxicated state. So it said, don't drink. You can drink, but as long as you don't drink when you go for salat. And the time of salat, you must not be in an intoxicated state. He didn't understand that there was a riot that came thereafter which cancelled that particular ayat. If a person does not know all that, he does not know which ayat preceded another ayat in Revelation, he will not be able to understand and grasp the purport of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. I have revealed the Quran, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon you, that you might explain it to people, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, to explain what has been revealed to you. The sayings of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a commentary of the Holy Quran. How do you understand the Quran without knowing the commentary of the Holy Quran? The Quran says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, perform salat. How are you going to determine how you're going to perform salat without going back to what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said? So this is what I've made mention. We must understand it very clearly. Some people get away by saying no priesthood in Islam, therefore everyone has got the right to interpret it the way he wants. It is completely a false notion. And even more surprising is not only those who interpret it, but with regard to the common people whom we accept as people who interpret the Holy Quran. Jaan ke maamle mein hum itne fayaz nahi hai. We are not so generous in matters of our physical self and in matters with regard to our wealth. If anyone has a sickness, he will go to the best doctor and the best specialist to gain a treatment with regard to his sickness. And if he wants to invest his money, he will make 100 investigations before who he investigates or invests his money with. A credible organization it must be. And if there is just the slightest rumor with regard to that organization and with regard to that investment, then you will see the queue in that investment company trying to pull out their money. That is with regard to our physical self and with regard to our wealth. But iman we regard as so cheap. Iman we have regarded as so cheap that we will take iman from anyone. We will take our deen from anyone. If a person comes on the radio, he can't even read the passage of the ayat of the Quran. If you put a class 3 madrasa student before him, that class 3 madrasa student will read better than him, but we will accept our deen from him. Because why? It is in accordance with our whims and fancies. We are not so generous in matters of our own physical self, and we are not so generous in matters of our wealth. But deen, because we have cheapened our deen, we don't give it the importance it deserves, therefore we accept everyone. So understand this very properly. To conclude, that understanding the Holy Quran is a right and duty that we owe to the Holy Quran. But proper understanding. There are those ayats which only the meaning only Allah Ta'ala knows. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one knows the meaning of that besides Allah. That we will say, O Allah, we accept that it comes from you and we believe in it. Then there are those ayats of the Holy Quran, moral precepts. Make mention of the Akhirah. Mention is made of Allah Ta'ala's qualities, those in which there are no debates. Those must become etched in our memory. And we must use it as an inspiration and guide to our day-to-day lives. There are many ayats which make mention of moral precepts. You don't need interpretations and tafsirs with regard to that. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't come near adultery. Now what do you need to do? You have to practice upon that. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. Tell unto the believers that they must cast their gazes down whenever the consideration requires. وآتِ ذا القربى حقه. Give your relatives the right view. وبالوالدين إحسانا. Be kind to your parents. Those moral precepts, you don't need much debate about it. That must become etched in our memories to serve as an inspiration and guide to our day-to-day lives. And with regard to Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily, in the coming of day and night, and in the changing of the, in the creation of the heavens and earth, there is signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That we can understand, and we must understand it, and we must remain etched in our memories. Then there are the third types of ayat which are ambiguous in meaning, that we should refer it to the ulama and those who have spent their lives in understanding the Holy Quran. May Allah Ta'ala give you the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. It's a very important thing that I have made mention of. We should try and grasp and understand what has been made mention of. The second right that we owe to the Holy Quran is understanding. And what is meant by the understanding is, what the ulama say is, a proper understanding of the Holy Quran. Is there not?